In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The Holy Fathers of the Church reference a portion of what we have read symbolically to the way in which each one of us as an infant is brought into the church, into the full relationship with God. Think about this for a minute. Lazarus was a very influential man. He was wealthy. His sisters had a great reputation. Martha was the energetic one. Mary was the contemplative one. These are both pieces of fruit coming from the same tree. Where's Gigi Moros? Is she folding something? Is she making coffee for something? Where is Gigi Moros? What?
Sunday school.
Sunday school, okay. You see, Gigi Moros is a type of Martha. She is always busy doing something, right? There are people who have a life of deep and fervent prayer. And for all we know, they're just sitting idly. But this was the type of personality and spirituality that Mary had. So you have this. Now, Jesus had just been with Lazarus. This had disease, this process that took his physical life, had to have come on very quickly. And you know, when someone who is prominent passes, I'm thinking about the funeral for Nabi Fuad Yusuf. There was a huge number of people, and almost the number of people outside of the church were greater than the number of people inside the church. What I mean by that, not people standing outside, but I mean people that he knew from business. Business people regarded him with great respect. And the church family, of course, was benefited from him being in the church all this time. So this is Lazarus. So we know this about Lazarus. But Lazarus doesn't have this closeness with God, even though he is described as a very godly and a very holy person. Because why? What must you do? What must every baby do? The baby must be baptized. But before the baby can be baptized, the baby must be confessed. How do you confess a baby? You do that on the faith of the godparents or the parents. And you turn towards the west and you deny Satan. And you turn towards the east and you embrace God, saying, I believe. And you were doing this for the baby who cannot enunciate or do these things for himself. Such was Lazarus when he died. Lazarus died in his sins. There's no expiation of sin. There's no confession. There's nothing that Lazarus could have done to have availed himself of dying in his sins. So something had to be done for him. His sisters appealed to him, Lord, you know, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. The Jews said, you know, this man who opened the eyes of the blind, maybe he could have done something to prevent his friend from dying. None of them saw him as God. Because when you are God, you just say a word. You don't have to come proximal to the dead man. You can raise a man from the dead on the other side of the earth. When you are God, nothing limits you. They didn't understand that about their friend Jesus. They thought that he was a holy man who God listened to. And so when Jesus would pray and ask for something, God, the Father Almighty, would grant it. But Jesus, not God, just Rabbi. Now, it began to grow. It began to grow. And how we have this is in Martha's first confession. She said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Do you believe this? And she said, yes. Now, I want to tell you something. There are people that all the time they will say things nominally. These people are insincere. They have no integrity. But when you say when you say the Holy Creed, Kanun Aleman, when you say I believe, you must mean you believe. And when she said that, she was speaking to God, who knew in this moment she believed. And she believed for whom? For all who were like her, and her brother was certainly like her. She believed for her brother. He could not believe for himself. He could not say these words from himself, as a baby who comes into the church cannot say, I believe. So, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And in her confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world, Jesus went to the tomb. I'm leaving some parts out. Now, when the sisters went to the tomb, they thought that they were going there to wail and mourn. I want to tell you about the quality of pain. When you are in great pain, words have no meaning. Words have no comfort. The only thing that comforts you in great pain is absolute silence. It's the stillness of your soul, reaching out and entreating God, but not words. Words are useless. But the Jews, like us today, right? Whenever there's something, whenever there's an occasion, there are all kinds of people that come to the occasion for the sake of the occasion. Not for the sake of the prayer around whom perhaps the occasion is created, but for the movement socially. Negro told me a story a long time that I've never forgotten about a woman who came to a place where people were mourning, and she was carrying on crying and weeping and so on and so forth, and then she sat down and was given her tea and her coffee, and then she moved close to a woman sitting next to her and said, who died? She was there to weep and mourn. It was a place for a crazy woman to act crazy. You understand? And there are a lot of those. I have seen in Egypt people throw themselves on the ground and throw dirt on their head. I've seen this. Maybe you haven't, but I have. And there are those people who will just as insincerely on the other side pretend to be holy, pretend to be reverent, pretend to be contemplative or meditative, pretend that they are doing something. And in fact, they're daydreaming, they're thinking, you know, when I get home, I gotta fix that malchia. There wasn't quite enough garlic in it. The people next door couldn't smell it through the walls of our house. It's amazing to me that we don't learn more from the scenarios that the Gospels provide us. Jesus looked at the fate of mankind in the microcosm of the death of Lazarus. Everyone will go to this end. Everyone. There is no solution for this except the one, which is the cross, the propitiate sacrifice that will provide comfort for all of the sinners who are waiting for the day of the Lord. But the people are there. The Jews see that Jesus is weeping. They assume, as a matter of fact, one of the fathers of the church said that this is proof that Jesus was born of Mary. This is what Mary gave him. Mary gave him this humanity. Mary gave him this ability to cry. Because if he were God, he would not. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what the outcome is going to be. And he knows exactly each step along the way, serially, that he must take in order to provide the directed end. And he's already well attuned to that. So why the emotion? Why the emotion? Because like us, he feels the pull of the flesh. Now, spiritual people try as much as they can to separate themselves from the flesh, because the flesh can be so very demanding. It makes you hungry, it makes you lazy, it makes you intemperate, it makes you wish that there was more activity because you're becoming bored, you need more stimulation. The flesh does many things to war against the spirit. And so monks and the female monastics all work towards this end. So Jesus is at the tomb, and it was a cave. Think about that. It was a cave. Entombed in the bowels of the earth. And there was a rock covering the mouth of the cave. How big would that have to have been? To put a man who would have to have been carried by other men, and then a rock is covering this. Not a small thing, but it shows you symbolically that there is nothing that one man can do to save himself. That it is going to take a community. And when you bring a child into the church, you're bringing a church into that child. They become inextricably one because the church prays for them. The church gives them release from their inevitable end if there is no church. So Jesus said, take away the stone. What this means is when we all cry out and we say, axios, meaning he is worthy. He is worthy. We're going to do this for him. He is worthy. They carry the priest around the outside of the church at the time of the burial. They carry him, borne on the shoulders of other priests. He's worthy. He's our brother. He's worthy. So they remove the stone from the door. Then it's written that there was a stench, this stench of death, this stench of sin. You see, the fragrance and the aroma of holiness that God provided wiped that away so that the people didn't bend over double puking. I've not smelled it, but I've been told that decaying flesh is a very horrible thing, and that the memory of it doesn't go away easily. So in spite of the fact that the Lord was warned not to go near, Jesus said to Lazarus' sister, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So Jesus lifted up his eyes and prayed, because he did not want to give offense, and he did not want to say that this is something that I do by myself. No, because it is like the crucifixion. It's not something that Jesus did by himself, where Jesus is, the Holy Father is, and the Holy Spirit is. In every single moment, there is no separation in the Trinity. So Jesus provides his amen, the Lord's amen. You know, I make a point of this, and I hope you will all agree. You all see me make a very big cross. I don't make a small cross. Do you know why I do this? This is my Amen. When I lift up my hands, when I pray Our Father, I don't pray with my hands down at my side. I lift up my hands. When I say, forgive me, Lord, I am a sinner, I, like the publican, beat my breast. When we say, bow down, my head bows. When it's the appropriate time to worship and make a matanya, we make a matanya. All of these things are our physical amen. It means I believe. Amen means so be it, let it be done. Yes, it is true. Amen. You might be saying this to yourself, but if you don't make these motions large, you have no value. You have no value in teaching anyone else. You don't teach your children. You don't teach your neighbor next to you that you believe. You don't build confidence in anyone else. You don't do anything that is good corporately. It may be fine for you. There's a story about an old man who came in every morning to the church and sat there for 4 hours. And the priest, after a while, asked the old man, "Why are you sitting there?" He said, "I'm looking at God, and God is looking at me." I've told you this story before. Well, the point is that that's fine for yourself. But when you are members of a community, as we are now, this is a community. In the community, you owe it to the person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you, the person sitting in front of you. You owe it to that person to say, "I believe," with every single physical posture. You can keep it to yourself, but then you're of no value. You're of no value. You're standing there. How do we know you're not daydreaming or looking at your phone? How do we know you're not taking a phone call? How do we know that? How do we know? So Jesus cried the amen that comes from God. And Lazarus came out. How do you imagine a man who's, you've seen mummies, you've seen pictures of mummies. How does a mummy get out? You imagine that Lazarus hopping blind? He came out as though levitated. Imagine this. Imagine you seeing someone coming through the air, bound in clothes. Then what did they say next? They said, "Loose him. Loose him." This is the action of the church. It's written that the priest will bind and unbind all the chains of evil, to forgive the sins upon the earth. Unbind him. Take away these sins, these wrappings of death. Take this away from him, and take that which was on his face off, so that he may see his Lord. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can use by way of allegory. Because I use allegory doesn't mean that I have lost factual meaning. It doesn't mean that I am ignorant of any fact, but it means that I see more than just the fact itself. I see more than that. And this for me was a brilliant moment. This was comparing, bringing in this innocent life to a full relationship with Jesus Christ through the faith of the parents, the Amin of the church, and the holy mysteries of the Myrun, and the descent upon the water, and the Epiclesis, the descent of the Holy Spirit, such that the child would be born again, and then he puts on the new clothes, which are Christ. And then to see this in this man from Bethany, who could not save himself. He needed his sister to say Amin for him. He needed God to say, "Yes, you are worthy, Amin, I accept the Amin." You know, a bunch of evil people can get together and say that their friend was great. There are so many people that will promote, especially now socially, that this person is great. Really great? Why? Based on what? So God has to say Amen. And both earth and heaven they conspired together. Conspired. One breath. They conspired for the healing of Lazarus. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.